In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The crucifixion is a devastation. It's a disaster. It doesn't seem that there's much meaning here in this place. For those who have followed Jesus, the disciples, the apostles, perhaps many of you throughout Lent, this comes as a failure, the crucifixion. This is the man whose teachings the apostles followed, whose call they responded to, whose miracles they witnessed, whose healings they received. This is the man in whom many had put their hopes for a restored Israel free from Rome, for a renewed worship of Israel's God. And now he sits there, fixed upon a cross. And so to it with their hopes and ambitions. And how short a time this took. Just on Sunday, Jesus entered into Jerusalem to cries of Hosanna, and now he's on the cross to cries of crucify him. The crucifixion is a disaster because it's a failure, but also because it's so common, strangely enough. Christ stands there between two thieves, two common thieves in a spectacle of imperial power, of intimidation, and of a cheap spectacle for the people to watch. Crucifixion is extreme, but it wasn't completely uncommon in those days. About 70 years before Christ's death, or Christ's birth, Crassus, the Roman general, had some 2,000 slaves who had revolted against Rome crucified for following Spartacus in revolt, and had their crosses lined the Appian Way leading into Rome. Then some 70 years after Christ's birth, the Romans quelled a revolt in Jerusalem and crucified many outside the walls as a spectacle, a display of Roman power. And so there Christ sits with the two thieves, risking being just another statistic, another footnote under the great wheel of Roman power and devastation. The crucifixion is not just a failure, it's strangely common. And finally, it's a devastation because it's a mockery, it's a humiliation. The people had proclaimed, "We have no king but Caesar." And to stop any insinuation that this man is king, that this man is Lord, that he has authority, he is mocked as a false king. He's crowned not with gold, but with thorns. He's put a purple robe around him, but upon a scourged back. He's seated not on a throne, but lifted up onto a cross, given not wine, but vinegar. With the people deriding him, this "Hail, King of the Jews," and a sign proclaiming that he is king, all in mockery, all in humiliation. The cross is a disaster, it's a failure, strangely common, and a mockery. What are we to make of this? I grew up in the South, a land that Flannery O'Connor calls Christ haunted. And you would see this all the time. The cross was ubiquitous, it was everywhere. You'd see it on billboards. If you were driving on the highway, you would see three crosses in the distance on a hill. It was ever present. And this could take away from the disaster, the devastation of the cross, but it would hint at another important point, that despite this being a disaster, this is the point on which the world turns. The cross is the axis on which the new day that God is bringing comes about. How can this be so? Certainly the cross is a disaster. It is a failure. It is strangely common. It is a mockery. But something new is happening here. It is a failure, but it's a failure of our rejection of God. Christ sits upon the cross as prophet, proclaiming to us that even though we go so far as to crucify Christ, as to kill God, God does not reject us even in that. Christ, as prophet, sits on the cross proclaiming that to us. The cross is common. It is a common devastation, but it's common in that Christ shares our common death and bears our common guilt, carrying it away from us as priest. Christ as priest sits upon the cross, bearing our guilt, our death away in Him. The author of John's Gospel wants to really hammer this point home, having Christ be crucified on the day of preparation for the Passover, where the sacrificial lambs are being prepared. John makes it clear that Jesus' bones were not broken, just as the Passover lamb's bones were not to be broken. Christ, the priest, carries away our sin, our guilt, our death in Him freely, bringing them away from us, separating our sin, our death from us as priest. And it is a mockery, yes, but it is a mockery of the various authorities, powers, and principalities under which we sit. Christ is mocking them. Christ is the true King upon the cross, who stands in strange victory over the powers, over the principalities, showing us that nothing can have authority over Him. It is our human authority, our human power that is, in fact, the mockery of God. If you want to see a true King, look at Christ on the cross, who is prophet, priest, and King here. For this is the point on which the world turns. This cross is the axis on which things become anew. The cross is a devastation, but this is the devastation of the old world and the bringing in of the new. For as Christ says, on this point, it is finished. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.